Nationalism versus globalism. We're going to talk about nationalism versus globalism. This is Fritz Berggren, bloodandfaith.com. Happy Friday, everybody. Globalism is the Tower of Babel. Nationalism is your own people, your own race, your own language, your culture, your own God, your own lands. Globalism is a rebuilding of the Tower of Babel. It's been the project of man and Satan since the Great Flood. You can call it one world, one government. You can call it the Great Reset, United Nations, World Economic Forum, World Economic Forum. Somebody wrote a book a while back about how the world is flat, and not to think about borders and boundaries and cultures. And certainly in my lifetime, in the last, since the Clintons really, there was it been an enormous push to, to reduce the economic borders around nations and to facilitate big businesses isn't even the right world. It's the flow of goods and services and capital around the world that with no boundaries or no borders. And then contingent with that is, of course, the flow of people around the world with no boundaries, no borders, especially, it seems, in the United States and Europe. Some countries get to have borders, but not the traditional lands of Christendom were being invaded. And versus nationalism. Nationalism is, look, it's our nation. It's our people. It's our language. It's our land. We'll participate to the extent we want with other nations, but we don't need to. The archetype of globalism is the Tower of Babel. And when God personally came down and stopped the building of the Tower of Babel, he divided up the world. Well, the world was already divided based on race, but then he enforced that division by changing their languages. He says, I didn't tell you to stick together and build a monument to yourselves and to be all one. Told you to be fruitful and multiply and spread across the face of the earth and build nations. And so that's what happened. And the Bible says they left off building the tower. Tower didn't suddenly collapse, and I'm speaking about this not physically. I'm speaking about the project, the spiritual project behind it. And we see certainly in the last century, boy, there's a whole hog effort to get that tower going. There's even, you know, buildings in Europe that look like a redesigned tower from Babel. And you have, these organizations that claim to speak in the name of mankind, universal human rights and rule of law. They're trying to rebuild Babel. Well, they are rebuilding it. And you and I don't get a say in that. And they're building this one world government. You call it the Great Reset. And you and I don't control it. The nations don't control it. The different bloodlines don't control it. It's beyond our control. Somebody else is running the show. You can go back and listen to my podcast from last night on the beast and about how there's this beast out there. And it yearns and lusts for its own power and will brook no competition. So there's the movement for globalism and then nationalism. Nationalism is like it's our own people, our own nation, our own language, our own borders. And there's a big biblical archetype for that too. That's was the nation of Israel, not the Israel of today, which has nothing to do with the Israel of thousands of years ago. Nothing whatsoever. But when Moses brought a people out of the land of Egypt, they had one language, one culture, one history, a general conception of who their God was, even though that was problematic, even from the Exodus. And they went in and they took a land. They took a land for themselves. They said, this is going to be our land. They drove the other people out, or they were supposed to have driven the other people out. And that was their land. And they had borders. The Bible describes the borders of the land of Israel. I mean, discrete and specific borders. And then within the general border of the land of Israel, which used to be the land of Canaan. Okay, these are people. Canaan was a person. Israel was a person. Okay, Jacob was renamed Israel. And then his descendants were called the Israelites. The Canaan was a real person. He was a son of Ham. And his descendants were called Canaanites, and the Girgashites and the Amorites. But they were a people. So the land of Canaan was given to the sons of Israel by the Almighty. He says, look, I don't care if somebody was there before you or not. I don't care. That's your land. Go in there. Drive them out. That land's yours because I've given it to you. Don't get all squishy and moral on me. And so they did. That became their land. And it had boundaries. There's overall boundaries in the Bible for that land. And then within the nation of Israel, there were tribes. There's the 12 tribes. Have you heard of the 12 tribes of Israel? Well, they have these tribes. And each tribe has their own borders and boundaries. This wasn't like, okay, now we're all one. No, each tribe even had borders and boundaries. And I also remind people, when you look at the ark, what did God tell Noah to do? He says, make rooms, separate these animals. I don't want everything and everybody mixed. And so even in the ark, Noah made separate rooms. And so nationalism, you want a theological foundation for nationalism, it's ancient Israel. Nothing to do with the contemporary Israel. Nothing to do at all. And they were given a land. They had to drive the people out. And it had borders. And they as a nation, as a corporate nation, were supposed to serve the living God. And their constitution was essentially the Ten Commandments. That was the foundation of their culture and their law. We've talked about that here before. We've talked about how the First Commandment and the Third Commandment specifically refers to Jesus Christ. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. Well, what is the name of the Lord thy God? It is Jesus Christ. It's the name which is above all names. That at the name of Jesus Christ, everything on heaven, on earth, and under the earth shall bow. Jesus Christ is the name above all names. First commandment, you shall have no other gods before me. Well, who's the me? It's Jesus Christ. Explicitly Christian nations. If you go over to Acts chapter 17, this is Paul. He's speaking to the Greeks. Speaking to European man. And he's at the Areopagus, place where they all got together and had chats and discussions. And he reminded them, he says, look, God made from one man, Adam, every nation of mankind to live on the face of the earth, having determined their appointed times and the boundaries of their habitation. Oh, I don't believe in borders. Hey, God determined not only their appointed times, but the boundaries of their habitations. That's nationalism. It's nationalism. And some nations rise, some nations fall. And they're given borders, having determined the boundaries of their habitation, Paul says here in Acts chapter 17, verse 26. The boundaries of their habitations. It's nationalism. And you see that played out with the ancient nation of Israel, with the 12 tribes. They took possession of a land and they built a nation that glorified God, or that was their duty. That was what they were supposed to do. They had issues. And so at the Tower of Babel, God said, okay, y'all want to be one? No, that's not what I said. I want you to become different nations. So he split them up. He split them up ethnically and reinforced that by changing the tongues, changing the languages. And they all scattered to the four winds, scattered across the face of the earth, and they built their own different civilizations and nations. Why? What's the purpose of this? Why? Well, it says it right here in Acts. Acts 17:27. We'll start with 26. And he made from one man every nation of mankind to live on all the face of the earth, having determined their appointed times and the boundaries of their habitation. Verse 27, that they would seek God, if perhaps they might grope for him and find him, though he is not far from each one of us. For in him we live and move and have our being. There you go. So it's to seek God, not just as individuals, but as nations. Remember, when God called the Hebrews out of Egypt, he called them out as a nation. He didn't just say, hey, you know, anybody wants to follow me, just raise your hand. No, he said, look, it's the whole nation. And when he told Abraham, he said, look, I'm going to make nations from you. I'll make nations come out of you. He wasn't interested in the onesie-twosie. He wanted an entire people, an entire nation that would serve him. And so he creates these nations, and that he scatters them on the earth, that they go their own way. And let's see which bloodlines and which nations will serve Jesus Christ. You can't do that if everybody's hanging out of the Tower of Babel. The nature of Babel is a totalitarian system, a tyrannical system, where there's no freedom of speech, there's no freedom of thought, there's no freedom of religion, any more than there was freedom of thought and speech and religion under the ancient Babylonians, under good old Nebuchadnezzar. Yeah, I know. He said, you have whatever gods you want, but you will recognize me as supreme. Christian nation says, no, we don't recognize you as supreme. I don't care what your little fancy little human rights laws are. Jesus Christ is Lord. Christian nation will never accept homosexuality as a norm or a standard as acceptable. Will never be an acceptable practice in a Christian nation, ever. I don't care what the UN says. I don't care what some court says. So on one hand, you have the pull towards Babel, project of evil, rebellious men. On the other hand, you've got nationalism, which is the natural antibody to totalitarianism. And the project of the world and Satan is to deracinate people, strip them of their land, their people, their languages, their gods. Tell them they're not a people, especially to the European peoples, especially to them. That's why you've got that Jewish professor, Noel Ignatiev. I've mentioned him before on bloodandfaith.com. His whole project, his whole purpose in life was to eliminate whiteness, eliminate the white culture, values, identity, race. It's cultural, historical, philosophical, ideological. Call it genocide if you want. Evil. Evil people, evil man. And of course, he's heralded as a wonderful prophet. He's essentially a prophet of their false religion. That's an inversion of what God said. No, build nations. Don't build the Tower of Babel. Go out and build separate nations. Maybe some of those nations will follow me and serve me. So we have to resist the pull towards centrality. And you've noticed by now that the more centralized the control is, the less you and I have any say in our lives whatsoever. Nobody voted for the masks. Nobody voted for mandatory COVID vaccines. Nobody voted for homosexual marriage. Nobody voted to take prayer out of school. Nobody voted to take the Ten Commandments off. Nobody voted for this stuff. We had no say in this. Okay, that's Babel. That's the centralizing totalitarian movement. But a nation, a people that's rooted in their own land, as their own traditions, their own language, their own God, they can resist that. And so what has happened over the generations is we need to strip out any sense of identity, especially amongst the Christian peoples of the world, the historically Christian peoples of the world, the sons and daughters of Christendom. We have to absolutely strip them of any sense of self and identity and history and culture and religion. You're not a Swede. You're not a Frenchman. You're just a blob of tofu. You're neither male nor female these days. And you strip a person, you strip a culture of that. Oh, and by the way, this land's not yours either. You don't have any right to this land. We're going to jam a bunch of Somalians into Sweden. How do you like your multiculturalism now? And you utterly destroy that. And so then there's no way to protect yourself. And that's what essentially has happened to the sons and daughters of Christendom. It's Babel versus nationalism. It's globalism versus nationalism. And we're going to have to figure out a way to protect our nation. We're going to, for starters, figure out what a nation is. Secondly, and I guess this is my project, this is where I come in. Most people have no conception of what I'm talking about, especially Christians. They're like, globalism, nationalism, what? I just worship Jesus. I just want to worship Jesus. You know, they got the drums out and they're banging on the drums and swaying back and forth. I just want to worship Jesus. You know what? I just want to drink some wine, man. I got you. I just want to, like, leave my troubles behind, too. Give me another glass. But guess what? We got to grow up. We got to grow up and sober up. Stop living in a fantasy world. And we got to go out and build Christian nations. And it's hard work. It's hard work. And my job is to get people to understand that this is not only possible, but it's demanded by the Holy Scriptures themselves. That's, I guess, where I'm coming from, and that's why I'm talking about these things. You got to build a vision in people's heart and their minds for Christian nations with their own group, their own people. This is normal. This is natural. It's biblical. It's godly. Mixing of the nations is not godly. That was the Tower of Babel. Well, I don't know if I believe in the Old Testament. Old Testament was replaced by the New Testament. This is why you have Fritz Berger on here. To bloodandfaith.com. And we've talked about this. One set of scripture never replaced another set of scripture. The blood of Jesus Christ absolutely replaced the blood of bulls and goats. All right, that's the new covenant that replaced the old covenant. But nobody got rid of the holy scriptures. So ancient Israel is an example. One people, many tribes. Boundaries for the whole nation, and boundaries within. Boundaries within. I've mentioned before how the first border guard was actually, you know, stationed back at the garden. Adam and Eve get kicked out, God put up a border guard, armed border guard. So there's a cherubim with a flashing sword to keep people away from the tree of life. First armed border guard in history. And even Eden had a boundary. Heaven has a boundary. And here we say, well, we can't have any boundaries. It's all one. And so you want to have, you know, a certain group of people riding herd over the entire world, doing as they please, utterly deracinating every nation on the face of the earth so they can maintain power and control. That's the biblical model. That's the biblical model of Babel. Globalism must be resisted. Must be resisted from a Christian point of view. If you have globalism, you will never have a Christian nation. You're not going to be able to develop unique Christian cultures. That's like saying, I got kids, all right? I got a few kids. But they're all different. They're all different. Do they share similarities? Yeah, well, sure they do. But they're also all different. We raised them all the same. Once you get over a certain number of kids, once you hit number three, number four, baby, there ain't no uniqueness on how you raise the kids. So, all right, come on, kids. It's oatmeal for breakfast. I don't want oatmeal. Don't eat. That's not my problem. Here's the oatmeal. You want it hungry? Eat it. Oh, yeah, we went through that. I told my wife, I said, stop cooking four breakfasts for the kids. It's one breakfast. You decide. They don't. But they're all still different. Every one of them still different. All right, I yearn for the day when you have different expressions of Christianity corporately. Not just in a family or a church or a congregation or a denomination, but entire nations. I mean, let's just pick 20 nations off the top of your head and say to yourself, what would that look like if those were Christian nations? This is the vision I want people to have. I want a Christian nation. Maybe it's the nation that you're in now. Maybe it's a portion of the nation you're in now. We're going to build a Christian nation. Nation is the people. It's got to start with the people. It has to start with the people. They have to have a vision and an identity and unifying themes in them and understand themselves as a people. That's healthy. That's wholesome. That's proper. That's right. The world would strip that out of people. It deracinates people so it can build the Tower of Babel. That's the world's goal. That's Satan's goal. That's rebellious man's goal. And then you got a group of people at the top riding herd over it, so they have all the power and riches and wealth. God said, no, I didn't call for that. Global economic efficiency is not his project. He says, I want different nations, different groups, tribes, groups, peoples, nations, that would express the glory of God as they have been created. Christendom was an example of that. You had the European peoples converted to Jesus Christ. They all did. I don't know that there's any exceptions to that. Oh, but there is one. There is one exception to that. And then you did have the invasion of the Africans and the Muslims into Iberia. And thank God for the Spaniards. They spent 7 centuries driving them out, but they drove them out. You got 7 centuries to spare? I do, through my kids, my grandkids, and great-grandkids. And great-great-great-great-grandkids. This is a long-term project. It's not going away. People are very short-term minded. Spaniards took 7 centuries to claim back their land. We'll claim back ours. We'll claim back ours. Might take a few centuries. It's okay. So think about this. Build Christian nations. And remember, the state is simply the structure that's supposed to support the nation. The state structure is simply a tool. And when you have a Babylonian system, the state becomes the god. Everything exists to support the state. But the state is supposed to support the nation. It's supposed to be a tool to support the nation. Simple mechanisms. But it's the nation. It's the people. It's their culture. We have to develop a Christian culture. You have to develop a Christian identity. Identity. Oh, they hate that. Oh, he's a Christian identitarian. Yeah, it's just called being a Christian, okay? It's just called being a Christian. Oh, he believes in Christian identitarianism. He's a Christian nationalist. Absolutely, I am. Oh, absolutely. Yes, I am. Christian nations. Resurrection of Christendom. Even a resurrection of Christendom in Europe. You have to believe it's possible. You have to believe it's appropriate. You have to believe it's biblical. And I'm trying to show you the theological foundation for this, the non-optionality of this. And I've said before, you want evangelism? You want people to get saved? How about tilling the soil first, pulling some weeds and getting some rocks thrown aside? Then over the generations, evangelism is going to be as natural. When a good gardener goes out there and they start picking those tomatoes off those vines because they've been doing it for 20 years. They know how to do it. And they've gotten rid of the rocks and the weeds and the birds of the air. They got it down, baby. They got it down. And you're out there fumbling around trying to grow a couple of tomatoes like I am. And I'm like, I have no idea what I'm doing. I put the seed in. I cover it up. And I put some water on there. And I don't know what happened. But I look at what my neighbor's got and I look at what I got. And I said, there's a big difference. All right, modern evangelicals think they can go out there and not garden and then still get a big crop. That's the truth. That's the God's truth. They think they can go out there and let's throw a couple seeds out and they expect them to pop in immediately, like Star Trek. They just beam me up, Scotty, and somebody just gets beamed in and gets born again. And when it doesn't happen, they're scratching their heads. Well, I guess God, it's just not God. Guess it's just not God. No, how about building a Christian nation? How about building a Christian? How about taking a few generations? What is this evil person doing being nominated to the Supreme Court of the United States, can't even tell what a woman is. Sorry, that's evil. That's evil. That person needs to be rejected. Like, who are the people that brought her up in the first place? They all need to be rejected. That cannot exist in a Christian nation. That cannot exist. Again, the project of Babel is to deracinate people, not only just their language, but right down to their sex. It's evil, okay? We got to recognize it as evil. And it's not just evil ideas, it's evil people. But the evangelical church has gone out of its way to make a new religion, which the traditions of man, oh, God loves everybody. God loves everybody. God loves the homosexual. Oh, God loves the sinner. And you've made up your traditions of men. You've made up all these traditions of men, and you undermine the Word of God. Don't tell me God loves everybody. You go read the Gospels of Jesus Christ, and you figure out how Jesus Christ actually talked to people. The dude was pretty hardcore. There's nobody that talked about hell more than Jesus Christ. Nobody. He was pretty dang hardcore when he talked to the Pharisees. Matthew, it talks about the Pharisees. In John, it just talks about the Jews. But you talk about hardcore? Whole. Well, you're not supposed to offend anybody. Excuse me. Go read Jesus Christ and tell me you're not supposed to offend somebody. Even the disciples went to Jesus Christ. Jesus, you're just offending them. Don't you know you're offending the Pharisees? Jesus Christ did not care. Didn't care. Oh, you can't be that way. You're being aggressive. I don't know. I'm triggered. Jesus Christ goes into the temple, he gets out a bullwhip. He starts making a whip, starts turning over tables, driving these people out of there. Don't tell me that your job is to not offend somebody and to be Mr. Soy Boy, Tofu Dude. Well, we don't want to offend anybody because, you know, Jesus loves everybody. And so the evangelical church has made its own religion. It's gone the way of the Jews. The leaven of the Pharisees is when you put your man-made traditions up over what the Word of God says. That's what it is. That's what the Talmud is. It's their own man-made traditions that overrule what the Holy Scriptures say. Church has gone right down that road. Why do you think Jesus Christ warned against the leaven of the Pharisees? Because he knew this is what the church would do. Oh, we're just trying to hang on until God comes back, until Jesus comes back, because the devil owns the world. Hey, Matthew 28:18, all authority, all. has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Therefore, go bring discipline to the nations, disciple the nations. Go build Christian nations, man. Christian nations, you're tilling the ground. You're tilling the ground. And then over a few generations, all of a sudden, you know what? Your churches are full. Not that the goal is to fill your churches. But when somebody puts up a thing that's going to be on the Supreme Court and the thing can't tell you the difference between a man and a woman, nobody could even conceive of a situation in which a person like that would even be nominated. It would be inconceivable. It was in my youth. It would be inconceivable that somebody would stand for nomination for the Supreme Court of the United States and say, well, I don't know how to define a woman because I'm not a biologist. Inconceivable. That's what you want in a Christian nation, where evil is inconceivable. You're not even conceiving of it. You can't even imagine it. This is why they have such strict speech codes in the world today. Well, you can't say this, you can't say that, because they don't want you to conceive of a Christian nation. They don't want you to conceive of, even imagine in your mind, that the Ten Commandments should be back on the walls of every schoolhouse in the world. At least on the schoolhouses of the nations that have decided to be Christian nations. And this homosexuality stuff, it should properly be inconceivable. Inconceivable. People wouldn't just, it's just, You couldn't even conceive of it. Why would you? But it's pumped and pushed 24/7 through the folks that run the media. And you know, grade school kids come home talking about gay this, gay that. Why? In a Christian nation, that would never happen, never exist. It'd be inconceivable. And nobody would even breathe the idea that you would normalize homosexuality. Wouldn't even breathe the idea, let alone marriage, let alone pumping it into the minds of third graders. We live in an evil age, and there's evil people. Sorry, I'm not going to make a distinction between evil and evil people. God loves the sinner, but he hates the sin. Listen, you got to get over this stuff. Jesus Christ didn't kowtow to the Pharisees. Go read Matthew chapter 23. See how he talked to him. It was pretty direct. All right, we're going to have to grow up, grow a pair, and we're going to have to say, look, we need to build Christian nations. And to start, we need to birth this idea in the minds of men. That's where I come in. I want to birth this idea. I don't care if you're in Hungary or Russia or North Korea. It doesn't matter to me. Build your nation. Well, I just think nationalism is the cause of all the wars in the world. That's why we have the United Nations, because nationalism is the cause of all the wars in the world. No, it's not. No, it's not. That's a lie. That's an utter, absolute lie. Go look at Yugoslavia. Go look at Yugoslavia in the 1990s. Remember what happened back then? By the way, Yugoslavia means southern slave area. Slav is slave. Slaves used to come out of Europe. A lot of people probably didn't know that. That's where the term Slav comes from. All right? And the Muslims and the Romans, they'd slave here. Go get some slaves. They're Slavs. Crimea used to be a slave base for the Ottomans, for the Muslims. That's why Russia kicked them out, took it over a couple hundred years ago, over 200 years, 250 years ago. That's why the Russians came down into Crimea, took it over from the Ottomans. Because it was used as a slave base to go up north into Ukraine and into Russia and capture slaves and send them down to the Muslims. Evil religion, evil people. So I think it was Catherine the Great went down there in the 1700s and kicked the Muslims out and put Russians in there. Didn't know that, did you? Don't see that on CNN today, do you? So that story goes back a long ways. We need to build explicitly Christian nations where Jesus Christ is the acknowledged monarch. This is not an impossible task. It's not an impossible task. We have to imagine it in our minds. It needs to come out of our mouth. You need to understand these people as being evil. Stop thinking of them as just, you know, same as everybody else. We got to get over this idea. And because let me tell you something. If you don't think they've targeted you as evil, if they have not targeted you as evil, then you're one of them. And this is where, Scripture says, come out of Babylon. Stop thinking like them. We're not all one. Sorry, we're not all one. When they call, you fascist and racist and this and that and the other thing, clearly they don't see you as part of them. Fine, let it be. Don't be afraid of their little name calling. Start building Christian nations. Don't build Babel, man. Don't build Babel. Build Christian nations. Wherever you are. And it's got to start in the heart. It's got to start in the minds. Look, we're in hard times now. By the way, you heard a certain political leader recently saying, well, we're going to have, food's going to be really scarce, even in our country. I've told my family members for years, I said, you better store up some food. Oh, Fritz is just he's an extremist. Well, now you got some pretty senior people saying, hey, food shortages. Oh, boy. Look, I don't know how we get over the hump. It looks pretty bad out there. I got that. Where I sit, I'm not sitting exactly comfortable myself. I don't care how bad it looks. I do not care. The devil's going to blow up. His kingdom's going to blow up. I covered that on the podcast yesterday. Kings of the world will become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ, and he shall reign forever. That whole statue of man will be utterly destroyed by a rock that was carved without hands. It's going to fill the whole earth. We're going to fill the earth with Christian nations. The nation of the people that will not serve Jesus Christ will be destroyed. And I know, you and I are like little Gideon. We're down there, you know, trading out in the wheat in the place where we're supposed to be making wine with grapes because we're trying to hide, trying to be the gray man. And God said, hey, I got this. You know, but have a vision. Have a vision in your heart. And speak the word. And be willing to go out there and challenge their idols. I mentioned Yugoslavia. That war in Yugoslavia in the 1990s. Yugoslavia used to be, one nation under Tito. One nation. One state. This is, again, the difference between a state and a nation. Many nations, one state. Tito was ahead of it. Again, this is prototypical of the impulse of a central government. Tower of Babel. One state, many nations under dictatorial control. So as soon as Tito's gone, people's like, man, we're sick of this. We're sick of living under this oligarch, this dictator, this tyrant. We want our own people, run our own nation. And so the natural antipathies rose up. They started fighting each other. And the Christians versus the Muslims, Serbs, Croats, Kosovars. Apparently it was a mess. I wasn't there. Talked to people there. It was a mess. And the United States decides to get involved, and they start bombing, you know, people, bombing the Serbs. Oh, there's a humanitarian crisis there. We've got to get rid of all the bad people. So what's the end of the day? Well, we're going to divide up Yugoslavia based on different identity groups. Serbs are going to be here. The Kosovars are going to be there. The Croats there. Not the Albanians, but all these other different. We're going to make different nations and have a state that corresponds to the nation. Hello. If you're against nationalism, why did you go out and recognize the differences in these different nations and saying, hey, we got to have different states for the different nations? And they get their own state. Maybe they get along better. Maybe they get along because they're separated. They don't have to be forced together all as one. Remember that statue that I talked about yesterday that, you know, at the end, you've got all the people mixed or forcibly mixed and the iron doesn't mix with the clay? It naturally does not work. It just doesn't work. Clay and iron don't mix. It's not going to work. All right, you go around the world and you say, well, didn't we create a new nation in South Sudan? Didn't that just happen recently? What about the move to have the Palestinians to have their own nation? Well, they need their own nation. Well, wait a minute. If nationalism is bad, why do you want a nation for the Palestinians? Or for the Jews, for that matter? Or the Japanese, or anybody? Oh, it's just the white people that can't have their own nation. Hypocrites. You hypocrites. Yeah. No, man. We open up your eyes and see what's going on. Don't let people look down their nose at you and imposing their narrow-minded morality on you. They try to impose their narrow-minded morality on you. You're racist. You're sexist. You're homophobic. You're anti-Semitic. Take your narrow-minded morality and put it where the sun doesn't shine. There used to be time in America, not that long ago, a generation or two ago, when, oh, you just can't impose your morality on somebody else. Boy, they sure do today, don't they? They sure do today. Well, you can't say this. You can't think that. Thought crimes. You got a thought crime, man, you're going to lose your job. Oh, we're right back. Forget the Soviet Union. The United States is just as bad. We don't have gulags. But we just tell people, good luck. At least in a gulag, they gave you some gruel to eat. Now you just look. You can never get ahead. You're not. You can't have a job, and it's just going to continue that way. It's going to continue and get worse and worse and worse. Come on, Canadians. You've seen it. Oh, you donated to the wrong cause. Well, we're going to seize your bank account. We're going to lock up your bank account. Every tool that they have, they can and they will use. That's why I look at the situation where in the international arena now, and it's like, well, we need to economically crush not only governments but individuals because they have some association with something that we don't approve of. So we need to crush them individually. hey, baby, what goes around comes around. You don't think that's coming right back here in the United States of America on steroids because they can? Because they can? Oh, you're a bad thinker. You had a bad thought. We're going to shut you down. We're going to seize your bank account. You can't have a job. Can't buy food. You don't think that's coming? Come on, man. They've probably got whole manuals on how to do it already. They're just trying to create crises so they can continue to roll it out. You got to have a vision. You got to have a vision for your own Christian nation. Does that mean going to war against the globalists? Hey, Fritz Bergen, bloodandfaith.com. We'll talk to you again soon. We're going to have a good, fun weekend this weekend.